previously on Three of Hearts. After making a deal to protect Diamond, our heroes began preparing for their anticipated encounter with Chrysalis later that evening. Ipswich investigated the Atria, the hotel where Diamond is to be kidnapped, and located the time-stopping Eye of Kronosava above the front door, then rigged it with a bomb that will go off when someone activates it. Vellum and Spar, meanwhile, met up with Vellum's uncle, Grey Harrington. Grey revealed that they are on a quest to find a magical deck of cards called Providence, which is believed to reside beneath Clovenheart. Using the deck, he wants to change the past so that Vellum's long-dead parents were never killed. Grey claimed they will stop at nothing, but Vellum had misgivings about tampering with time, leaving him unsure what to think of his beloved uncle.
Yeah, what are Spar and Vellum up to? Any? I know Spar was getting weapons that aren't his magic sword, because it doesn't want to kill Veracity.
And specifically, like, vampire effective weapons.
Anything can kill a vampire. It just has to happen a lot. It's not like a wooden stake specific thing or like silver. It's just like you gotta do a lot to them. They can bounce back from a whole lot.
Okay. Then I think Spar's going to invest in like a halberd situation.
Mm-hmm.
I could Google this, but Jordan, you D&D. What's the one where there's like a blading cutting part? Like a long, really, really long-handled axe?
Oh, yeah, it's not a halberd, is it? Is it not a halberd? No, it's not.
I think
no,
a halberd's the one that's like a spear.
Yeah. Oh my god. Is it not just called a poleaxe?
That sounds right.
The only thing I could think of was a glaive.
It's a
shaped differently.
Yeah, a glaive is also very similar.
Oh no, but halberds do have an axey bit.
Okay,
it's like kind of triangular.
Oh yeah, glaive is more spear like. Honestly,
yeah.
Okay, so it can be a poleaxe or a halberd, whatever makes you happy.
We'll see. I think I'm gonna go with a halberd because that looks like it has a better stabbing bit on the end.
Okay. Ela.
So oh, I you... wasn't done. I was oh. sorry. I was not done. So we are also going to grab all of the ammo that has been issued to Vellum, and also
all the gadgets that were in the briefcase that we haven't used because we had lost our luggage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Various secret agent gadgets. And what do we have? Okay, so roughly approximately in 1950s, what do we have in the way of like a Tommy gun?
We have like literally a Tommy gun.
Then I want one of those, please.
Okay. Yeah, I think the police would give it to you at this point.
Yeah. ACAB, but I'll take it.
Yeah.
Spar's gonna write a note that says "Sorry, Jack," and stick it like in the empty bag where all the extra ammo used to be. So there's that. I will let you know if I think of anything else that I retroactively want to have picked up.
Yep.
But I think we're basically going for strictly weapons. I don't think he's trying to pick up anything that's not just like able to do damage.
Actually, on the Tommy gun front, let me flip. And actually, for both of them, I'm going to flip just once to see how good the guns are and whether they get, like, or the weapons in general, and see if they get some kind of bonus or not, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Success! Okay.
Yay.
So, the Tommy gun gives you +1 to firearms, and the halberd gives you +1 to melee.
Okay. And then, I know it's been several months for us. We're still in the same week as the bridge.
Yeah,
meeting,
they still
right?
have a charm bonus, yes.
Great, which for those of you keeping track at home, adds to my crit. Thank you.
Oh, I know why you're asking.
You're not at home for the purposes of this podcast. You're in Cindershore.
I'm actually not at home in the real world either.
Yeah, that's yep.
Can Vellum work on trying to get functioning version of the triple threat?
Yes. You mentioned you were tinkering with Grey. That's what I was going to call on you for. So go ahead and flip a...
Int gadgetry?
Int engineering for building the gadget.
With a...
And go ahead.
I was just going to say with a bonus for Gray helping.
With flip two extra cards for Gray.
Okay. So int is 4. Engineering is 0. 1 for healthy, 2 for Gray. 7 cards. We have an ace, a jack, and a 3 of hearts.
So what's that?
So that is 5 successes.
Wow. Okay. So last time you had just gotten the teleportation boot functional, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. For 5 successes, yeah, you two are able to, I think, get the triple threat working. And fashionable. So are you sticking to Josepha's original design of heeled boots and fingerless gloves, or would you like to do something different with the design?
The heeled boots, I think, like a small heel, like nothing too big and nothing too thin, because he doesn't want it to break if he has to run.
Like a stacked heel or like a tango heel, not a stiletto.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
The fingerless gloves. I think vellum would be more of a fitted glove than a fingerless glove.
That makes sense to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Yeah. You're not. Yeah. You know, you're a little bit different in style than Josepha when she was in college. So... As a reminder, the triple threat has 3 modes. They are teleportation. That's the boots functionality. Mm-hmm. And then each of the gloves has a functionality. One is telekinesis and one is taekwondo, the 3 T's.
Well, to be that person, taekwondo is more about your kicks than it is your punches.
Okay, it can be one of the boots then. The gloves are telekinesis.
Yeah, the literal translation of taekwondo is tai is foot, kwan is hand, and do is way. So it's the way of the hand and the foot. It's more focused on the feet, but it is also hand. So it's not like karate, where it's the karate means empty hand.
Mm-hmm.
It is more focused on your hand movements.
Okay, well, it's all everything. Every part is everything. Because the most important part is that you have a little belt with a dial that changes what the functionality is. And as a reminder, you have 1 arcane core in it right now. So that means that you can have 1 of the functionalities active at a time.
Cool, cool.
And I haven't really gotten into detail what they do, but I mean, they're pretty straightforward, right? Teleportation allows you to do short-range teleportation. Taekwondo allows you to be proficient in taekwondo. And telekinesis is going to give you 2 points in telekinesis whenever it's active. I think taekwondo probably gives you a bonus to melee and dodge or something.
Okay. And do you want to determine what that is, or do you want to play with that when it comes up?
That one.
Okay.
As you guys are leaving the constabulary, actually, before that, Vellum, would you want Gray to join you at the atria or no?
Okay. I think before we figure out if Gray is coming with, Vellum wants to talk to Spar about Gray.
Okay, so we are going to do that. All right. Then, yeah, we'll say, like, maybe Gray is putting some finishing touches on the triple threat that they don't need your help for, so you go talk to Spar for a minute.
Agent Spar, I've learned a few things about my uncle, and I'm not entirely sure how much to trust them, so I would value your insight.
I think that the images, they're in the room that houses the firearms, and Spar is cleaning the guns that he has picked out, like his own and the ones that he's borrowing.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know that, like, cleaning weapons is Spar's nervous habit. But it's also just a good habit to have. So I think he's, like, sitting and, like, has this, like, gun spread out on a cloth over his lap and looks up at Vellum. And he does not say what he's thinking. So I don't know if you want to like flip empathy for what he is thinking. But like he, sure, yeah, or if you just want it, because he will say like, okay.
Okay. I am curious, what is intelligence empathy or what do we think it would be?
Sure, emotional intelligence.
Yeah, or charm or presence or wit. I think anything, like if you pick him up and shake him upside down, I think that should be brawn empathy, but otherwise I'm willing to allow any of these methods seem like they would specifically work for like the Vellum Spar relationship because they know each other.
Yeah. Okay. I was going for intelligence in that thinking of Vellum trying to read Spar's face and like reading cues mm-hmm. with what he has learned are Spar's cues.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see. That's 4 for intelligence, 1 for empathy, 1 for healthy. We got 1 success.
Spar is confused about why you are asking him this, but he's game. Okay. He's game to hear it.
You know, I don't have many people that I'm close to, and I'm worried something will happen. Something bad. And I told you before that Gray mentioned wanting to bring my parents back. And they seem very set on the idea, and that if I didn't help them with it, they would do it anyway. And I've also learned a bit more about Providence. Grace said that Providence is a deck of cards.
Spar nods like, at this point, fuck it. Sure, that makes as much sense as anything else has made. Why not?
And they're capable of changing the world around us. And apparently Bridge worships them. And I don't know what to believe anymore. I don't know who to trust, and I don't know what to do.
Well, when I don't know what to do, I think about what will make the people I care about safest. Does that help?
A bit. I'm not sure how to protect my uncle from themselves, but
we could try locking them up. Stick them in the pokey for, I don't know, however long it takes to solve this.
Vellum nods. They offered to assist us with the festival. I don't know that I would trust or want their assistance, but I figured I would ask what you thought.
In the field, you don't partner with anybody who you wouldn't trust with your back. If you aren't sure if you trust Gray, that's not enough trust.
I don't think that they would hurt me, but I don't know if they wouldn't hurt others.
Right. Like, trust is about more than just whether or not they'd hurt you, right? It's do you believe that they would, if there is a conflict between something you asked them to do and something that they wanted to do, do you believe that they would do what you asked? If there's a choice between getting something powerful and saving lives, do you trust that they would choose to save the lives? Do you trust them with my life?
No.
Do you trust her with Anya's life?
I see what you mean. That helps.
And if the answer is yes, if you do, I trust you with mine, so.
Have we heard from Suits about our backup that's supposed to be on the way?
No. There's a knock at the door to this armory area.
Spar, who makes himself plenty at home in this constabulary, you know, I feel like once you've taken like a full ransom hostage threat, bomb threat call on behalf of a place, you can let people come in. So Spar is like, yeah, come in.
It's Ishbala. And she's like,
does she have Anya with her?
Yes. So she's like, Spar, I'm so sorry. I'm under duress right now. And then moves aside and Anya's standing there. And Anya says, is this a bad time?
Depends. A bad time for what?
First of all, the duress was just me saying I was going to leave whether or not Ishbala followed me.
Leave to go home to Clovenheart where you will be safe?
No, to come see you.
Ah, so I can take you to Clovenheart where you'll be safe. Right. No. He's like standing up, dusting his hands off.
Ishbala has like her head in her hand and talking about how she's a failed bodyguard. And Anya's like, so Ishbala was mentioning that the Eye of Kurnasava only activates if you look at it. And so that makes me an invaluable ally.
Yes, and you will become an even more invaluable ally if you stay alive. Anya Whittlesby, I will pick you up and put you on the boat physically.
Look, I'm not arguing that I should be out there fighting, because I would not be good at that.
Better than some would think, which then sort of doubles the advantage because they underestimate. But the point is,
we're on the same page about this. I don't want to engage with anything. But what if, like, someone important gets, like, frozen in time? I could help move them away from danger.
We already have two amulets that protect against the eye. We do not need to put you in the place that you were expressly kidnapped to be not in. You're going home.
Can you flip presence, empathy? To persuade Anya.
Presence is 2. Empathy is 4. That's 6. I'm healthy is 7.
Plus 1 for Anya.
I was going to ask, but then I was like, but wait, does that actually... I'm not sure if that would be a plus 1 or a minus 1 for it coming from Spar.
You guys have mended some bridges at this point.
Okay. I'll take it. So that's going to be, let's see, presence 2, empathy, that's 6, 7, 8. 8 cards. 7, 8. Anya's going home, baby. We got a jack, a non-hearts queen, and then a crit.
Wow.
So that's 4, 5, 6 successes.
Wow. Anya's shoulders slump a bit.
Spar goes over to her and he puts his hand on her shoulder. Mm-hmm. And he actually he pulls her into like a half hug, not like mm-hmm. a full hug, but a half hug. She's a halfling, right? Mm-hmm. And so he kneels and like kind of pulls her against him a little bit and is like, hey, I just got done rescuing your brother, like, I don't know, asleep and a half ago. I don't know how many days that is. And I've already rescued you once in the last, I again don't know how many days. One, I think, maybe it's all kind of blurring together. The Whittlesby family has reached their maximum number of rescues for the week. I'm so sorry. But I can't. I will drop everything to come to you, and you know that. Because I have. And I will again. And if I do that, I will leave other people vulnerable. I need you to go home to keep everybody safe.
Anya nods and says, "You've fallen for my trick. This was all a ruse to get you to say nice things about me."
God, I'm so, so gullible. You get me every time.
She says, "I'm not exactly going to hop on a boat right now, but I will go back to the safe house with Ishbala. I think being on the move is probably more dangerous right now in this moment than being in that safe house.
At least switch safe houses."
"Yes, we can do that."
Okay. And Spar points at Ishbala and is like, "You are a shit bodyguard. I'm signing you up for lessons."
She says, "Look, I had real qualms about manhandling a lawyer, so I just kind of did. I didn't know what to do."
"Well, sometimes you just gotta, you know, you see a lawyer, you pick him up. That's how I live my life."
She says, "It would be so easy with her." And Anya's like, "I would bite you."
"Correctly and deservedly so. You gotta make sure that you've got your armor on top of the sort of shoulder, arm, face area first." "Never go anywhere without pauldrons. That's what my aunts always said."
Speaking of that, they're in the lobby because they were also in the safe house. "We had to make a group field trip. I'm going to take, Luna Vella wants is hell bent on going with you, but I'm going to take the two little ones back to the safe house."
"Okay."
And each ball departs. "All right. So it sounds like we're not bringing Gray. Is that the vibe I'm getting?"
"Yeah."
"Okay. All right. So I'm going to cut over to Kit then. Does anyone have any pressing business left in the constabulary?"
"No."
"Okay.
Does Vellum have ammo for his Derringer or whatever it is he's got?"
"Yes. Presume everybody has ammo. Spar has raided." "All right.
Cool."
"Okay. Kit, you are going around doing one last inspection of the alarms before things go down, and you see that as you check Diamond's room again, that they are in it."
"Oh, your sparkliness. How was your trip over?"
"It was fine. The driver was very nice and quiet. So, Mr. Creeper, this has gotten a lot scary and more complicated than I anticipated. I would really like to play this show."
Creeper nods.
"And I would really like for you to make an effort. I like to think of myself as a person of honor, but also a person of sense. If you could somehow help me leave for having to follow up on my end of the deal with the suits agents, that would be greatly appreciated."
"Uh-huh." "Wish I could say I was surprised."
Creeper sort of makes kind of a confused face.
Mm-hmm.
And is like, "Well, my top priority right now is simply maintaining your safety and ensuring the success of your performance."
"Thank you. I can work with that. There's something else. Did I hear correctly that you know where Brick's room is?"
I know the location where they are expecting you to be delivered. We will not be delivering you to that room, but I do know where it is."
"Well, I am not an altruistic person, but veracity scares the shit out of me. Not just for my own safety, but I think they're pretty bad for the world. And it is possible that their room could hold some kind of, I don't know, secrets, information. So I was thinking that if Veracity makes themselves known at this party, for example, if they realize that I'm not being delivered, that you and I could sneak up to their room in the meantime.
Oh, sneaking. I do like sneaking. Yeah. You know, if we know where they are and we don't think they're going to be in that room, then yeah, I can take you over there.
Thank you. They like pat you on the cheek a little bit, like maybe a little condescendingly, like you're a good lad.
Yeah, and Quirk Reaper just blushes slightly and nods.
Listening to the episode so far. My name is Jordan Quiverns. I'm your host, your GM, your wingman, and your idol. I know, that's not a good one. Idol, you shouldn't aspire to be anyone but yourself, the best version of yourself. My pronouns are they, them. And there's other people on the show, like Esse.
Hi, my name is Esse. I use she, her pronouns. I play Agent Felspar, who uses he, him pronouns. You can find me primarily on co-host at the time of recording. Who can say what'll happen in the future? At cohost.org/essay. Ela.
Hello, everyone. I'm Ela Alexi. You can find me online at Ela Alexi. You can find the show online at Three Hearts Cast. I play Agent Vellum, Agent Cowlin Vellum. He and I both use they and he pronouns. Is that everything?
Yeah, usually we do agent facts when we introduce ourselves, but I guess we could do them all after.
We've done them both ways.
You didn't... Yeah, well, Jordan didn't do an agent slash world slash Jordan fact, so I was just talking.
Yeah, you're right. All right, go ahead.
We've done everyone intro and then facts, and then we've done intro and fact switch to next person, yeah. So...
There's no rules.
No rules, just right.
No rules, just right. Outback Steakhouse.
I think we should snake draft it where... So Kit should do their intro... And then Kit should also do the first agent fact.
And then Ela.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Hi, I'm Kit Stubbs. I use they, them pronouns. I am playing Ipswich Crowswaddle, the queer creeper who uses he and they pronouns. As of recording, you can find me on Twitter at Kit_Stubbs_PhD. Let's see. My agent fact, every morning. Ipswich commutes to his office by parkour while blindfolded. Gotta keep those skills sharp. This fact brought to you by Seanan McGuire's book, Discount Armageddon, the first book in the Encrypted series, which I've read recently and loved.
That's amazing. I love it.
This week's Agent Vellum fact is that when Cowlin Vellum was just a small child, a babby, if you will, he was having a bad day and was crying while in the library. And it was here that he met the future suits agent, Iris. And she came over and cheered him up. And they've been friends ever since.
Aww. And this week's spy fact is that because he grew up with a pixie for a sister, the way that he got into like practical how-to books was making stuff so that they would have matching things when they were little.
Oh, that's adorable. That's the cutest thing I've ever heard in my whole life.
He was a very cute, small boy.
That's very good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I had not been thinking of a fact this whole time. Hold on. Give me just a second.
No. No, I refuse. No time.
Okay.
No.
All right.
No.
Okay.
Or else. We don't edit this pod. Everything you hear is perfect. Hot into the mic. For real, no pressure. Sorry, I'm just goofing.
The entire way from the safe house to the constabulary, Aunt Hildy was just asking Isbala questions about working with Spar. things like, just tell me like how great Spar is at his job. Let me know any bad habits that he has that I can lecture him about.
Does he take his 15-minute break every every 4 hours?
Yeah, does he eat lunch regularly? yeah, so that's the entire way. Just total, exactly what a mom would ask that their son's coworker on the way over.
Okay, good. And then, because I have to know, what are the Isbala Anya vibes?
Good. Friendly.
Okay.
Are you shipping Isbala and Anya over there?
I mean, I ship any two characters, frankly, in any media, not just ours. You stand next to each other for 5 minutes or less.
Look, I had the thoughts too today.
I just wanted to take the temperature. Isbanya.
Aww. That's a good one. And I'm just going to plug, definitely by the time this episode comes out, on our Patreon, you should subscribe to it because I have a short story. It's going to be a fucking novella. It's going to be 3 chapters about Anya and Josepha having a drama/adventure at the Passion Fruit Festival 5 years before this one. So you should listen to that or read it. You can't listen to it. You can read it.
Can listen to it with text-to-speech text software because we live in the future.
Mm-hmm. But as of this time, I have not recorded an audiobook or finished writing it for that matter. All right. bye, everyone. Enjoy the rest of the episode. I did not think about until just now. So this is for the other crew. Anya has procured all of you with tickets to the festival, so you can get in. Unless you want to just flash a badge to get in, but
sure, no, that's fine, thanks.
But it is couples only.
Mm-hmm. Good.
I'm not worried about the creeper creeping in, so I think that's fine. Also, question, because this is a semi-utopia. Semitopia. Mm-hmm. Is it strictly couples or would triads be acceptable?
Yeah, more than two is fine.
Okay, so we can have a polyam situation if we need to.
Correct.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Because what's better than one fake boyfriend? Many fake boyfriends.
So you're heading into the feast, as it is known. Oh, that is a little weird though, because as far as I know, the people going right now are you two and then Luna Vella?
Luna and the Queer Creeper.
Queer Creeper's already inside, but Jakob.
I'm already inside. We could send Jakob out.
Jakob could be Luna's date. That's also weird, but not as weird. All right.
It can be like, you know, the key things where it's like, oh, well, you know, my mom was a single mom and she missed her prom. So now as like a grown, like I'm going to take her. Right. It's that energy of like, or I mean, maybe Jakob is into bilfs. It'd be a very weird energy, the sort of cat bird. But the reversal, because the bird is the one you should be frightened of and is also probably the taller and like, there's a lot. I'm putting it back in the suitcase. I am repacking it.
Yeah. Good idea. Okay. So yeah, the doorman takes your names. You're all on the list. You all get in. Now I should say like, you guys have to be kind of like on each other's arms as you enter the door. Once you're inside, they're not, like, actively policing that stuff. That would be weird.
Did we have code names or anything?
I don't think you need them, unless you guys think that was necessary.
I don't know if we needed to. I just wondered.
If you want to, we could, but I don't think we'd need them. But if you got a hankering.
I think it's a cute thing, but also I can't think of anything clever at the moment. So
okay, there may be an arc in the near future of this campaign where you guys need to be disguised at an event. That's all I'll say. So you can have that experience in the future.
I was going to say, given the vibes, I don't think this will be the last chance we have to give false names. Mm-hmm. And this is maybe not the energy for it, this event with Veracity. Practical question, because if I were a listener, I would be bothered by this. They have a lot of stuff.
Between
a Tommy gun and the TM.
How are you carrying this?
And the poleaxe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Essay.
Okay. I think, so I'm going to say that Suits has some sort of like short range equivalent to walkie-talkies.
Mm-hmm.
Radio. Maybe they're actually walkie-talkies,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So Spar's going to try to get in touch with Queer Creeper.
Okay.
I'm assuming that we like set this up ahead of time.
Sure.
And Creeper has like one of our walkie-talkies. So Spar's going to be like, I'm not going to make the walkie-talkie noise into the mic. I'm not going to do it. This is why I was gonna be like, Creeper, are you inside the hotel?
Yes, I'm backstage. So at this point, you know, Creeper is sort of bowed out of Diamond's room and is just hanging out outside the door. I'm backstage. What do you need?
Could you open like a fire exit door or something, a backstage door, loading dock, something like that? We have some gear that can't exactly come in the front way.
But you know that'll set off all of the alarms that we worked so hard to enable for safety this afternoon.
Spar did not know anything about the alarms, but he's just gonna go with it. He's like, okay, well, surely there's got to be like a loading dock, like some there's got to be some door that is not alarmed.
Oh yeah, I can meet you out back at the loading dock. Sure.
Okay, great, thank you. So I don't know if we need to roleplay this, but I think this scene is like this just like clatter of stuff that we're like heaping into Queer Creeper's arms.
Yeah, and he's like, okay.
I do think you both need to roll me stealth to make sure that this is done in a way that does not arouse suspicion. So I'm going to make it a wit stealth for Ipswich and Spar, because it is more about like the timing of everything than like actually not being seen.
Okay, so wit is 4, sneaking is 0, healthy makes it 5.
All right, and I have wit is 2, sneaking is 4, which is 6, and healthy makes it 7. One success.
Okay.
One success also.
Okay, for one, I'm going to flip a card. Okay, black is good, red is a complication.
Okay.
Black. We're good.
All right. And then I think as part of this, we're going to arrange a place that we can pick up our stuff also.
Mm-hmm.
That will be like close enough at hand.
I think it's feasible at an event like this that you can like pay for a locker to keep stuff.
Like a coat check, but for more stuff.
Correct. Because I think, okay, this is an all-night event. Mm-hmm. I think there might be like expected like outfit changes for some people at this kind of thing. So yeah, you get a little, you can pay for a little locker if you're an extra bitch.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys can store it in your weapons in one of the lockers.
Okay. Yeah. I think Spar is still going to keep. Spar's going to keep his sword on him because he always keeps his sword on him. Unless it is a place that makes him remove it, that's like non-negotiable. And he'll keep his like service pistol, but all of the other, all the special stuff, whatever's not part of his regular loadout can go in the locker.
If you reveal you're a Suits agent, they'll definitely let you take your sword, like no problem.
Yeah. Yeah. And okay. That's fine. I don't mind. I'm not trying to hide that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
How big is the TM radio?
The TM radio is like, I'm trying to think of a comparable object that's not a number of books.
Is it like a briefcase size?
It's like briefcase sized.
Okay.
Okay. It might make sense for Vellum to leave the radio in a locker as well.
Okay.
But he'll have the triple threat on his person and his two-shooter.
Yeah, I mean, one of the conveniences of the triple threat is that it's designed to just look like attire, like just fancy attire. So, all right.
I think when Spar sees the triple threat, he whistles and he's like, oh, God, now I feel underdressed.
Vellum will blush and say, you know, I made some slight modifications to Josepha's design, but I think it looks quite nice.
I agree.
So the feast is in a big room that has two floors and the balcony looking over the main floor. The main floor has a bunch of banquet tables. One of the main events tonight is a guessing game. Well, not one of the main events, but one of the fun activities. So it's a guessing game where there's a bunch of like mystery prizes and you get to ask the attendants like each like a couple questions about one of the prizes. And then if you can guess what it is within five questions, like you get the prize. There's also the truth booth, which is like, a little booth you go into where you are compelled to tell the truth. Many relationships end in the truth booth.
Some relationships begin in the truth booth.
Yeah. But those also that also coincide with another relationship ending, usually.
I have a question about the truth booth that may or may not become plot relevant. Mm-hmm. I assume it's a spell?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Is that tied to the structure of the booth, or is it an area of effect like Zone of Truth?
The booth.
So if the booth were like knocked over or dismantled, then... the like area it's in would no longer be truthful.
Correct.
Okay. So it's like a booth imbued with truth.
Correct. Okay. I think you guys would know, like working in like a law enforcement adjacent, that a long time ago, truth booths were a thing that were developed for use in interrogation. But because it's not like Zone of Truth in D&D where you just can't lie, in a truth booth, you are literally compelled to answer truthfully any question. So you can't like plead the fifth on that one. So it's just considered too unethical. So it is only used for extremely trivial things, such as this festival.
Novelty use only.
Yeah, exactly. upstairs is mainly the concert right now. And yeah, there's also like photo booths and speed painters and like all these, like there's a shit ton of things happening here. So what are Vellum and Spar doing when you guys get in here?
Spar wants to see if he can scout people who look like they might be agents of Chrysalis, especially anybody who might have the emerald. He is like, until Voracity shows themselves or something happens, he is trying to locate the emerald.
Okay. I'm going to be a little mean. Because it is a prolonged investigation, I'm going to do intelligence investigation for this.
Okay. Intelligence is 1, investigation is 4, so that's 5, healthy makes 6.
All right.
Does Spar get any bonuses? I was going to say, if Spar is specifically investigating altered people, like he would get that kind of magic vibe.
Can he hear the, because he would know what the emerald sounds like.
Yeah, sure, give you a bonus. Oh, wait, that's a specific weird thing about the Eye of Kronosava. It doesn't make sound for you.
Okay.
Yeah, I had mentioned that before. I'm not pulling that out of my ass.
No, I believe you. That's fine. I would have used drive anyway because I care about this. So one drive has given me 1 success, and I'm thinking about, I have 6 drive total. 2, 3. Okay, I've spent 3 drive for 2 successes.
Okay. For 2 successes.
Can Vellum also do some investigating?
Yeah, well, hold on. So for 2 successes, Spar, you specifically notice 2 individuals you do not recognize at 2 different parts of the party. One's on the dance floor, one's stuffing their face, and they are both wearing the closed eye pendants that give immunity to the Eye of Kronosava.
Do the pendants make any sound?
Nope.
Okay.
One of them does because they're altered, but they're visibly altered.
Right.
They're a mouse person.
And so I know that we have two legit pendants.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way to tell a difference between the two pendants on the strangers? Wit investigation?
Yeah, wit investigation.
All right. That's a good investigation. Four for wit, four for investigation, makes eight, healthy makes nine. Two successes, one joker.
Okay. So, you don't notice any differences.
Okay.
Like, but you're confident about it. But you are spotted by food-eating mouse man. Like, he notices you noticing him.
Okay. Did you say the other person who has one isn't altered?
No, he probably is if he's in crystals. I didn't even think about that. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Maybe not visibly.
Yeah.
Altered.
Yeah. So yeah, you've been spotted staring at this mouse guy.
I'm gonna give him the sup, not
give him the up down.
Actually, Lunavel is gonna approach behind you and say, Merim, I've been abandoned by my date, so how's it going?
No violence yet, so I'm going to say it's going good.
Good. I feel so weird being like, is it normally this noisy in the city?
How noisy is it in the room?
It's pretty noisy. Like, people are here. There's like dancing happening.
Right. Yeah. Well, this is a little more than usual. Mm. Yeah. Enclosed space, live music.
Must have been quite a culture shock coming from Clovenheart.
Louder in some ways, quieter in others.
Well, if there's anything I can do to help, I'd love to be useful. I don't think I'm going to get much enjoyment out of this place.
Yeah, Jakob is a very good dancer.
Yes, but he said something about going to look for the queer creeper, so...
Gotta have words with them. So Spar will describe to Lunavella the emerald and also show her Vellum's amulet. Vellum has an amulet and Queer Creeper has an amulet. Spar does not.
That's right.
He will make sure Lunavella has the best possible description of the emerald and then show her what the amulets look like.
Yeah, let me put a thing for Lunavella. And say, I'm curious, Merim. Just for scholarly sake, does this amulet or the eye do anything for you, your hearing?
He shakes his head. No, it's weird. I can't hear it.
I wonder if... That's kind of fascinating. I wonder if divine magic is fundamentally different than the magic that mortals use. The Eye of Kronosava is allegedly an artifact created by the god of time.
Spar does not take his sword out of its sheath to hold it up to his ear. He does not take his sword out of its sheath to hold it up to his. Spar does not take his. Spar sort of shrugs, like, in Vellum's direction. I assume that Vellum is also, like, standing nearby, like, I don't know, sure, that makes as much. Vellum, do you have thoughts? Magic is your, I'm just here for the punching.
So, out of character, I don't know that Vellum and Spar have talked a whole lot about Spar hearing magic, what that whole experience is like.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess he would say something like, it stands to reason that magic that is closer tied to a divine nature would interact with things in a different way. We could certainly try to run some tests on it. I've not experienced what you have experienced, so I do not know that I would be able to figure it out on my own.
Vellum, what did you want to investigate?
In general, Vellum was also going to try to keep an eye out for anyone that was acting suspicious or looked like they might be part of Chrysalis, because as much fun as these activities sound, we are here for a mission.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead and flip intelligent investigation.
Okay. Okay. Four intelligence, two investigation, one for healthy, one for eclectic. We have two aces and a jack.
Okay, three successes.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm going to give you the same thing. Like, you don't see anyone who looks suspicious, but you do notice someone who is actually wearing the amulet, like, they've, like, fashioned it as, like, a bracelet, but it's definitely the same closed eye.
Okay.
And this person is actually, they seem to be security of some kind.
Ooh. Okay.
Ipswich.
Vellum will tell Spar when he notices them.
Okay. So Ipswich, it is about time for Diamond's concert, so if you're staying on them, they would be leaving the backstage finally and donning the stage, which looks out over the balcony. Or it's on top of the balcony looking at the people below, and there's also like other balcony level seating where you could look right at them.
Yeah, so Court Creeper is basically just trying to stay sort of, I don't know if there is like a, I don't know very many theater terms, but like it would be like the wings if there were an actual theater, like basically somewhere where you can kind of see the stage, but you are not out.
Absolutely. And yeah. Can you flip me a wit investigation to like keep your eye out for any immediate threats?
All right. Wit is 2. Investigation is 0. Mm-hmm. Again, not a strong suit, mm-hmm. but we're healthy. So that's 3 successes.
Alrighty.
But I got an ace and a king.
Three flips
and 2 successes.
Okay, that is good. You notice.
2 successes out of 3 flips. That rounds up to 3 successes. 2/3? That's
you notice, like on the lower level.
Mm-hmm.
There is a door for maintenance. You notice someone walking out of it. Then a few minutes later, you see someone else walk out of it. And then a few minutes later, you see someone else walk out of it. And you don't get the vibe that there was a tryst happening in the maintenance closet.
Yeah. No. All right. I will try to radio Spar.
Mm-hmm.
Spar, are you there?
Here.
Are we all in the same wavelength?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I assume so.
Okay.
All right, I've just watched 3 people walking out of the maintenance door, and I don't think they were back there playing patty cake.
I'm on my way.
Ipswich, I also noticed a person in
security
guard.
And the radio cuts out.
Oh, no. And you hear Vellum on the radio saying, Ipswich? Spar?
But nobody does hear it.
Right. He says aloud, I suppose.
I actually will say, you all hear over the radio for a second, someone saying, yeah, everyone's almost in place. We should be able to pop off shortly after the concert. Wait, fuck, I'm broadcasting. And then he cuts out.
Spar's gonna detour to pick up his weapons and then make his way up toward the concert.
Alrighty.
Vellum will grab the radio. Would that voice have been familiar to the listeners? It sounded like Brick to me.
No, it wasn't. But... It wasn't.
Okay.
I realized that it did. It was my deep guy voice, but it wasn't Brick.
Okay.
So I'm gonna try to expedite things here. Concert happens.
If nothing suspicious is immediately visible,
mm-hmm.
then Spar's going to do similar to the concert in Clovenheart. He's going to climb the catwalk to get eyes on as much of the venue as possible.
Okay, go ahead and flip wit investigation.
Okay, that is 9 cards. Okay, that's a lot. One crit, plus a king, another king, a jack, and an ace. 1, 2, 3, 4, plus a crit, 5, 7. 7 successes, please.
Holy fuck. Okay. This is going to be some ongoing things you're going to notice, okay? Yeah. The first one I'll say, like, would Spar risk glances at the Eye of Kronosava above the door?
I think this is something he would know because he was on the original mission. Mm-hmm. Are you affected by it if you see it reflected in a mirror?
No, I don't think so.
Then he's checking with a mirror or something reflective.
That's so smart. Okay, yeah. Nobody seems to be messing with it. I'm going to give you that. You have not seen anyone approach it yet.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to give you the other thing in a minute. I'm going to give two other things in a minute.
While Spar is doing that, can Vellum try to head towards Ipswich?
Sure. Yeah, we can see you two sticking together.
Okay.
Also, Vellum, would you have gotten the TM radio out of storage?
Yeah, I said that earlier.
Okay, sorry. So Luna is going to stick with Vellum because
okay.
If possible magic usage. So while the concert is happening, Diamond is playing a song or singing a song that's called Protect Me. And as they say the chorus, they make eye contact with Ipswich. And Spar notices this. And I'm going to flip for Diamond's persuasive abilities.
Was Vellum able to get to Ipswich, or is that an ongoing thing?
Mm-hmm. No, you're there. Okay. All right, Ipswich, flip Presence Arcana to defend yourself against this.
Oh, goodness. All right, Presence is 3, Arcana is 0, and I'm healthy. It's 1, so that's 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. I have 2 successes. I have a Jack of Diamonds, a Queen of Spades, and a Joker.
Do we want to ante this Joker?
Might be a good idea, yeah.
Okay.
Since there are 3 of us, I think it should also get a vote on yay or nay.
Oh.
On... Yeah.
Sure. I would be happy to okay. Joker.
Yeah. Yes. I think this is critical. Keeping our team together, I think, is critical.
Yeah.
So we'll take our anti-Joker.
Okay. So, Kit, I'm just going to say, Ipswich, you tied Diamond. So you actually, I'm going to give tied to you. So you
okay.
are able to resist, but you do know that they were just trying to influence your mind.
And Ipswich kind of frowns and sighs a little. And it's like, yeah, they say you should never meet your heroes. Because then I guess they try to mind control you.
Yeah. That's how we've gotten you on this many episodes, Kit.
The last thing that happens is, as the concert is subsiding, the last thing that Spar notices of import, the person running the booth with all of the mystery gifts announces that the mayor just guessed something. They're these incredibly rare crystal roses that grow in Stoneloft, and they're like literally made of crystal, and they also have magical properties. What's a good magical property for a roses to have? I'll say they affect the scent of the person wearing them. Like they like, if you like have it on your person, you smell amazing in different ways depending on the color of the rose. You, for 8 success investigation, hone in on this box as everyone is looking at it and realize that it is not making any sound.
I think given the entire length of a concert, Spar would have figured out how to get Ipswich and Vellum and Luna Vella's attention.
Mm-hmm.
Like, would have caught their attention.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think he whistles at them. They've got to be making like occasional eye contact back mm-hmm. and forth now that we know everybody. So he like mm-hmm. whistles and then like points over to where the box is and makes a hand across the throat motion, like make it stop. Do not.
Okay.
Okay. Everyone gets 1 action to stop this box from opening.
Vellum wants to try to use the teleportation ability.
To like grab the box?
Yup.
I love that so much. Okay. Flip agility gadgetry to teleport across this room.
All right. Gotta count. 1 for agility. 4 for gadgetry, 1 for healthy, 1 for eclectic. Let's see what we got. All right, we got a king and a queen, and then a bunch of just numbers. Do I want to... I think I'm going to drive a little bit, because this seems very important. I've got 5 drives, so let's see. All right, that's 3 cards and 2 more kings. So that is 4 successes.
Okay.
While Jordan is thinking, the image I have of Spar having gotten their attention during the concert is to have taken his white handkerchief out from his coat pocket and have, like, periodically dangled it down. And so, like, the lights would occasionally catch on it until finally they looked up.
Okay, for 4 successes, I mean, yeah, Velum, you teleport in there right as the presenter is about to lift the thing. You don't grab the box, but you appear in front of him and startle him. And he says, "What in the blazes are you doing?"
And I try to grab the box.
Okay. Says, "A thief!"
This is official suits business. He takes out his badge and flashes it.
Okay.
Ipswich would like to use his telekinesis ability to move the box into Velum's hands.
Love it, love it. Do it, yes. Do it.
Like, this is a totally small, lightweight, I think, sized object that would be...
Yep. Agility, telekinesis.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
Mm-hmm. All right. Agility is 4. Telekinesis is 2, but I have my Ring of Thunk for +1, and I'm healthy for another one. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8. Oh my gosh. I have 2 kings. 2 successes.
Oh, wow. Okay. You move it into... Velum's arm successfully.
Yes.
Okay, this guy does not seem particularly fazed, Velum, by you saying your suits.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's a gentleman with longer hair. And when you're close up to him, you see that as an earring, he has one of the closed eye pendants. And he's gonna try to. We're gonna do contested, I guess, agility athletics to like try to get this box, because he's gonna try to take it from you.
Can Velum attempt to teleport away?
Yes. So this guy's going to flip the credit gap before he teleport away then.
Okay. So you said...
So agility, gadgetry.
Okay. Okay. I got 3 successes and a joker.
What did he get?
He got 1 king, the 3 of hearts.
Oh no.
And the Queen of Hearts.
Oh no.
For a total of 6 successes.
I think even if I drived, I wouldn't be able to beat that.
Okay. Yeah, I think what happens is...
What are the 3 things the triple threat does? It's teleportation,
taekwondo, telekinesis.
Telekinesis. I wonder if it's that Velum accidentally activates the wrong one because it's brand new.
That's good. Oh, that's actually pretty good.
Because that's a joker too, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And okay. So like, he accidentally bumps it out of his own hands.
Okay, I love it. So here's what happens for this main successes. This guy successfully yanks it out of Velum's hands. Then Velum uses telekinesis to yeet it like vertically up in the air.
Sorry, creeper use... I do it accidentally?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
And then everyone is looking up at the box as it's in the air, as it comes apart. And the Eye of Kurnosava looks down at everybody. For everyone in the crowd not wearing a pendant, just stops moving, stock still.
But it doesn't work unless it's in the masonry, right?
No. Inside of this is the entire Eye of Kurnosava.
The housing that's in the venue is a fake.
Correct.
Did we figure that out, or is that...
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
As I figured it out at the top of the episode. Yeah.
Why at the top of the
episode? That's why did not.
Okay.
Because you kept emphasizing like enough that nobody was going near the...
The eye.
Yeah, that was when I was like, oh no, yeah, the housing's a fake.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But fortunately, Ipswich and Velum have pendants.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you think, I mean, SA, like in actuality, do you think it's safe to say Spar was looking at the box?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, he has like one leg dangling off the catwalk. Like he's secure because he's sitting down. Mm-hmm. But like he had one leg off the catwalk. I think he fully had his hand on his gun. It was not out.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so, yeah, he's just like one dangling leg staring up. I guess it's almost level with him because he's up high. But yep.
Okay. So the eye appears. So the eye just starts hovering in the air and glow. It's like a brass. Or no, it's like a stone. It's a stone eye, but it's like that kind of like brassy color. And it just starts hovering in the air and glow, and the emerald is glowing. And yeah, everyone looking at it is stock still, which is most of the crowd. Actually, with the thing flying in the air, probably even the people up at the concert level probably are looking at it. So, but Ipswich and Vellum are still in their faculties.
What about Diamond?
No, Diamond is frozen in time.
Okay.
Something starts playing over the speakers of the atria. And I'll say you can hear it outside, too, so you get the idea that it's, like, echoing, like, throughout Cindershore. And it reads, "Good evening, noble constables of Cindershore, the lowly foot soldiers of a regime I've toppled once before. At this time, Chrysalis has made hostages of dozens of attendants of the feast, including the illustrious Mayor Lipton and his handsome husband. My followers will be coming to your station shortly to commandeer it entirely, and failure to cooperate with them will result in painful death for all these people, starting with Lipton. By sunrise, Cindershore will be controlled by Chrysalis. And if you're thinking to yourself, wait, weren't you just going to take our weapons? We intercepted your call yesterday. We were so prepared. Well, it's kind of sweet, actually. I was recently reminded that it pays to be bold by my dear nephew, Marim Felspar, who so reminds me of my younger self. But I digress. Surrender your constabulary to me at once, or I start ripping out throats." And Vellum, down on the ground, I assume you'd be like looking up to Spar out of concern, for half frozen over the balcony. You see Veracity is standing up on the balcony next to Spar, and puts their arm around their nephew, like, very sweet. Their frozen in time nephew, very sweetly.
Three of Hearts as S.A. Monoktola as Agent Felspar and our primary editor, Ila Alexi as Agent Vellum and our artist, Jordan Quiverns as our host, and special guest Kit Stubbs as the Queer Creeper. We play a game called Space Kings, which was created by Kevin Cole and Supertry Studios. You can find out more about that game at spacekings.space, where you can also purchase a digital version of the book. Go to book.spacekings.space to purchase a physical version. It's a great game. You won't regret it. Our intro music is Dogtective. Our special Queer Creeper Mitro theme is A Warm Welcome. And our outro is Ghost Plus Guest. All of these tracks are by Louis Zong, and they can be found at louiszong.bandcamp.com. We also have a Patreon, which you can find at patreon.com/threeheartscast. Support us for any price you can afford and receive access to all perks, including gag reels, the opportunity to have an NPC named after you, as well as bonus episodes and short stories set in the world of our podcast. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in 2 weeks with a brand new episode.
Fuck.
Kit, you're never getting off this podcast. Sorry.
Sorry, Kit. You're just part of the show now. I really thought we were going to do the whole thing in this one, but I'm a fool.
Yeah, I don't know why.
I'm just very excited that the party is happening. We are at the party and things are happening. This is great. This is very exciting.
We're finally at the end of my planned 3-episode Cindershore arc.
And again, I've been having a fabulous time. I'm certainly not complaining in any way.
Good. That's the mind control speaking. Okay, so...